I have some thoughts for us this morning, and I pray that the Lord would help me to deliver it. I know that for me, they've really been a blessing to me this week, and pray that the Lord would help me to relate it in a way that blesses you all. I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be talking a little bit about faith today, of course. You maybe knew that once we turned there, but Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I don't know about you all, but for quite a while, this verse, when I would read it, just kind of swam all around in my head, you know, trying to figure out what exactly is he saying. But, you know, I was looking into this verse this week, and something came out to me that really blessed me. And so I was looking at this verse, and I decided to look up some of the wording. And so it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, when I think of substance, I think of like an ingredient or something. You know what I mean? Something that goes into hope. And so I'm trying to figure out, well, what is that meaning? But when you look up that word substance, it means something different than maybe you might suspect. It says, a setting under, concretely essence, abstractly assurance, a confidence. And so when I was thinking about this scripture, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. You know that faith isn't just a I wish. Faith is much more than I wish or I hope even. Faith is based on something solid. Faith has a foundation. It's an assurance. It's a concretely established. You know, when a lot of times when we think of faith, it's like we're believing in something that may or may not happen. But that's not what our faith stands on. That's not what our faith rests on. It's not resting on a shaky ground, if you will. It's not resting on a wish. It's established. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. That word evidence is proof. It's a conviction. So our faith is assured because of proof that we can't necessarily see. So we have an assured faith in the hope that we have. So for example, we have faith that God has saved our souls and delivered us from a devil's hell. Amen? We believe that not because we've seen hell or we've seen ourselves necessarily delivered. We believe it because God said so. We believe the word of God and we believe his declaration. And we came to an understanding beyond our vision and what we could actually see to establish a faith in knowing that God has saved our souls. And that's solid. That's not, I hope someday I'll be saved. I hope that's not what your salvation experience is today. I hope that you know that you're saved. I hope that you are fully assured that you're saved. That it's a a foundation that you're sitting on that's immovable, unshakable. No matter what might come against you in life, no matter what may come against you in your circumstances, that needs to be a firm foundation. Amen. That you're not wondering, is it true? Will I be saved? Oh, Lord, please, I hope it's true. No, He's given us an assurance by His word that it is true. And so our faith is not on a wish. It's not merely on a hope, but it's on a firm assurance. I'm thankful that we can trust God like that. Yes. And I'm thankful that my faith isn't still up in the air. Yes. About what's going to happen. But it's solid. What is our faith resting on? A firm foundation. Who is our foundation? Jesus Christ is our rock, our foundation. He's what our faith rests upon. He was the sacrifice that shed His blood so that we can be free and delivered from our sins, saved, sanctified. Romans 10 and 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our firm assurance and in the things that we hope for, say for example, the hope of salvation, our firm assurance in that hope is based on a foundation of Jesus Christ, who is the rock that we are established on, and who also is the Word of God made flesh. Jesus Christ was the Word of God and made flesh and dwelt among us, and so we're established in our faith based on God's word. Yes. Hebrews 11 again. I hope I'm able to prove this to you all. Because I really do believe that a lot of times we have faith, but yet our faith is kind of open-ended a little bit. And we're not realizing that it's more solid than we think. That's what faith really is. Otherwise, it's just a hope. Hebrews 11 and 7. By faith, now listen, Noah had faith. Okay? And by faith, this is what he did. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet. He'd never seen it flood. He'd never seen it rain, I don't believe. He was warned of God that it was going to rain and that the earth was going to be flooded and that the people were going to be destroyed. He had faith in that. Was his faith just an arbitrary, well, you know, maybe it's going to happen, maybe it's not. His actions don't show that. God said, be warned, Noah, that there will come a flood and I'm going to destroy the earth. And so Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So Noah, in receiving that knowledge of God, if you will, God spoke to him and said, be warned, Noah, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be a flood that's going to destroy the whole earth. And Noah knew. He didn't wonder. He wasn't arbitrarily thinking, well, maybe it will. He knew that it was going to, and he acted upon it, and he spent his life building an ark in preparation for it. He built his life on this faith of what God told him. That's not arbitrary. That's not That's not a wish. He knew it. For him to pattern his life around that, I don't know how long it took him to build it. I've heard some say 120 years. Based on a word from God. He didn't have a vision of it. He didn't see it in his eyes. Now maybe I shouldn't say he didn't have a vision of it. Maybe the Lord did show him a vision of it in the sense of, this is how I want you to build it. Let's go to Genesis 6 and 13. And we're going to hear what God actually tells Noah. Genesis 6 and 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So God gives Noah a word. God's word is what Noah had faith in here. God said it. He said, there's going to be a flood. There's going to be where I destroy all the earth and those living upon it. God's word said that. And Noah had faith in it and moved about to do what God had said. God didn't just tell Noah to build the ark, but he told him exactly how to do it. Noah's faith was firm on a foundation, an immovable foundation. The Lord wants us to have a faith like that. Let's go back to Hebrews again. That was Noah. Hebrews 11 and 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So here we have Abraham, which to me, I mean, this is obviously, there's other examples of Abraham's faith, but Abraham packed everything up and went to a place where he had no idea where he was going. He didn't know what was going to be like there. He didn't know what kind of enemies were going to be against him there. He didn't know all the circumstances. He didn't have it all planned out and all the ducks were in a row before he left. And he knew exactly what he was going to face. And he had in his mind how he was going to defeat all these obstacles that were going to come against him. No, he walked in faith, not knowing where he was going. Why did he do that? Why would he just pack everything up, leave his family, the community? I mean, the community was big back then. They needed each other. He's packing everything up and going by himself. Why would he do that? Because God said to.
Yes.
He had faith in God and had faith in God's word. Abraham did not leave thinking, I hope everything's going to be okay. He did not just pack his whole life up and everything that he owned on a wish. He knew that God was going to take care of him. He knew that God was going to be faithful and true to him. He knew that wherever the Lord led him was going to be a good place, and that God was going to establish him, because everything he had already was because of what God had blessed him with. Certainly the Lord is going to bless him wherever he goes, as long as he's following after the Lord. And so he's not leaving like this, hoping everything's going to be fine. Do you get what I'm trying to say this morning? That when we say that we have faith in God, that we believe him, believe his word, believe what he says, we can act like this. We can spend our whole life. Now, obviously, Noah lived a long time, so that wasn't really his whole life. It would have been my whole life. But he spent a long time building that ark for something that he had not seen yet. And I'm sure everybody thought he was ridiculous for doing it, and probably told him so. And think about the obstacles of accusations and wordings and maybe even physical obstructions that maybe he had to face in trying to get that task accomplished. But you know, Noah could not be wavered, could not be swayed from doing it. Abraham could not be swayed not to go. He couldn't be swayed or convinced otherwise not to pick up and move. I'm sure people told Abraham, don't do it. Don't leave. You're going to be a victim out there. You're drawing yourself away from the community. We are a support to one another. We are a protection to each other. When we stay together, we're safer. Don't go, Abraham. Don't leave. Your protection and your safety is right here with us. You know that he could not be persuaded otherwise? Because he knew. So often I've thought of faith as being something that was uncertain. But faith is not that. Faith is not hope in an uncertainty. Faith is much more than that. Faith is a trust in a certainty that you can't see. Noah couldn't see, but he was trusting in a certainty because it was going to flood. God said it would. He doesn't lie. He does what he says he's going to do. So his faith wasn't in an uncertainty. It was actually certain. That was going to take place. Abraham's faith was in a certainty. God was taking him to a land and was going to bless him there. A land that flows with milk and honey. And he was going to multiply his seed and make a nation of him. And all those things. We're a certainty. that Abraham had faith in, in following after God. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They didn't see the fruition of all of what God had promised them in the sense of Noah, Abraham. He didn't see that great nation that God was going to make of him. It came about, but I don't know how many children he had left when he passed away. Maybe Jacob and his sons were there. I don't know. But he didn't see the fulfillment necessarily. But it doesn't negate the fact that God did it and that his faith was based on a certainty. Let's go to Matthew 14. Matthew 14:25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. When I think about this account, Peter sees Jesus walking on the water. Jesus says, "Hey, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter says, "If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." I think of what Peter is doing here. He did not step out of that boat hoping that he was going to stand on the water. Because if he did, if he had stepped out in hope, he would have sank. You know, our faith has to be based on conviction, assurance. It has to be based on solid ground. If it's just a hope, then that's there's a little bit of doubt there still. A hope leaves room for a possibility of uncertainty. When he stepped out of that boat and on the water, I believe in my heart that he was certain that he was going to stand on it. And why was he certain? Why was he so sure? Because all reality, if you will, tells us that you're not supposed to stand or walk on water. So why was he so sure that he was able to step out and stand and walk on the water? Because Jesus said he could. Jesus said, come. And that was all he needed. That was the solid and firm foundation. Him saying, come, was him saying, yes, you could come out. Stand and walk on the water. Do you know that that's all it takes? Is for the Word of God to say so? That's really all it takes. Is for God to say so. He said, come. And Peter stepped out and walked on the water. And as long as Peter's faith was in that come, and on Jesus, and on the word that he gave him, that he could walk on the water, he was fine. But his mind and his attention got onto other things. And he began to see other circumstances and events going on. And he forgot about what Jesus had said, come. And when he got his mind on those other things, he began to sink. And Jesus said, O thou little faith. Now, I wouldn't necessarily say that Peter had little faith to step out, to do something like that. I don't know that I would be able to do that. I guess the circumstances would have to be right where the Lord told me to. You understand that just because God told Peter to step out and you can walk on the water, that doesn't necessarily mean that you could take this scripture and say, well, I could go do it. That's not what we're talking about here. God spoke to him. God spoke to Noah. God spoke to Abraham. It was personalized. We can't just arbitrarily grab a hold of these things that the Lord did in these other people's lives and think that we're going to stand on them. We got to make sure that God is telling us that. And I'm not here to tell you that he can't tell you that. The Lord may give you this scripture and say, I want you to step out. I want you to walk on the water. And I'll tell you this, that if you have the faith in his word, that he'll let you walk on the water just the same that he let Peter walk on the water. He's the same God today as he was then. Amen. And what he did with Peter, he can do with you. Amen. If he wills it, and he wants to do it, and he wants to tell you, come, you can step out and walk on that water. But it's not a wish on our part. It's not a something that we're going to hope that we can gain on our own and think that that is a solid or firm foundation. No. The firmness isn't in my assurance. The firmness isn't in my confidence. The firmness isn't in my conviction. The firmness is in God's word. And his will. And his willingness to do it. And so it doesn't matter how convinced I might be. That's not the solid foundation. The solid foundation is, why am I so convinced? Why am I so assured? Why am I certain? And if it's based on God's word and it's based on what the Lord has told you, that's a firm foundation, an immovable foundation that you can have faith and trust in. And he's gonna fulfill his word to you and to me. There's things that we can read in the scriptures that is generalized and given to every one of us. The Lord has said that he would save us from our sins and deliver us from all unrighteousness. That's you, me, that's every one of us. If you can get a hold of that truth and you can grab a hold of that firm foundation, the Lord will save your soul. The Lord's will is to sanctify you. He said in his word, that's for all of us. That's not a personalized will of God, but that is a will of God for everyone. But there are things in the scripture that are personal, that the Lord is going to maybe ask me to do that he may not ask you to do. He's not asking me to build an ark. It's not something that he's revealed to me through his word, which he could. He can use these scriptures, these very scriptures, to tell us and to speak to us about things that are current, that happened then, had nothing to do with me at the time, but he can make it have something to do with me now. And he can speak to me and speak to my heart, and that voice in my heart can be an assurance to me in my life. To where I could be like Abraham and just pack it all up. Why are you packing it up? Where are you going? Well, the Lord has said. And that's a firm foundation. There's nothing more firm than that. I wouldn't want to go anywhere without the Lord having said, I want you to go. The Lord saying it. Not me thinking it's a good idea. Not somebody else thinking, well, I think you might be better off here. No. That's not a firm foundation. The firm foundation is in what God says. I want you to this. And when God says that, it doesn't matter when somebody else says, well, I don't think. Because God's word is the foundation. It's the sure place. And if we can just be in tune with his voice and in tune with the Spirit, allow the Lord to speak to our hearts, he can speak things into our hearts, and we can get a hold of that thing and get a conviction about it, and it can establish us in our lives, and we can walk essentially on water, or walk without being able to see any possibilities or any assurances visually that it's going to come out the way God has said. But our assurance is in faith in the unseen God doing unseen things, working out situations and circumstances for us. And we are just firm in our faith in him and in his faithfulness. Let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 7. Luke 7 and 4. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. In other words, this was the centurion, I believe. And he was asking for Jesus to heal his servant. And they were saying, he's worthy of this. He's done great things for us. Verse 5, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Yes. I love this. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. As I marvel at him myself. And turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This man's faith was established. It was firm. All you have to do is say it. Just speak a word, and I know that my servant will be healed. That is the assurance that he needed. Just the word. just God or Jesus saying so. Your servant's healed. Thank the Lord. That's all I needed to know. It's finished. That's all it really takes is for God to say so. And for us to exercise our faith to grab a hold of that and have a firm foundation within our hearts that it's true and I'm trusting God, I'm trusting His Word. He has said it. I'll not be moved. I'll not look at circumstances around me. I'm not going to allow things to enter in to create doubt in my mind. But God has said, and that is enough. God has said it. I'm taking Him at His word, and I'm trusting Him to do what He said He would do. In fact, I trust Him so much, I know I'm so confident in His faithfulness that I know it's done. I know it's established. I know it's finished because I trust the Lord. It's a faith that is solid. I think of the man that Jesus asked him, "Do you believe?" And he said, "I believe, Lord, but help thou my unbelief." He still, I empathize with this man because I can almost picture him in his heart having a tug of war still in his heart. Of full assurance, full confidence, and it's still kind of up in the air. I'm not sure if it will happen or not. And the Lord wants us to be confident and assured, not just that He's able, but now that He will. There's a confidence and assurance in God that He's able. And I believe that every one of us could say, yes, I know God is able. He can do anything. Nothing is hindered to Him. He can do the impossible. I can't imagine a thing that He could not meet the need or fulfill. But does He want to? Does He will it? And those two can be different. There's a faith in knowing that God can do the impossible, and He certainly can. But I'm going to tell you that when God says that He wills it, and this is personal to you, whatever it is that you need faith in, I have things that I need faith in. I have things that I'm learning of my Savior, precious truths, day to day. I'm learning how to put different things into His hands. To trust Him with circumstances in my life. I'm learning how to have confident faith that He's leading me and directing me in my life. And that's not a, I hope God is leading me. I wish for the Lord to lead me. But I need to have a firm faith that God is leading me. And that He is not going to fail me. He's going to give me an assurance of His will and His desire in every aspect of my life. As long as I'm opening that up to Him to do it. As long as I'm seeking after that from Him. And when He establishes it and He says, I'm going to do it. Then there should be no more wavering, no more doubting. It's no longer a hope anymore, but it's a faith and an assurance that God is going to do what He said. And we just wait for Him to do it. Acts chapter 3. Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. You better know something. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When you find somebody that is laying down and they have, maybe they have never walked or maybe they have never seen, you don't just walk up to them and say, "Hey, I want you to see. Go ahead and see now." Or you go start picking up somebody and forcing them to stand on their legs when they had never walked or maybe haven't walked in quite some time, you better know it. You know they didn't do that arbitrarily, hoping that maybe this man was going to stand. They had a confidence. Their relationship with God was in tune. They knew what the Lord was going to do. And so they didn't fear. They didn't have a fear of telling him, "Rise up and walk." That is amazing. But it's based on an assurance of God. Now, did they have a book in front of them saying, "Yep, this is the man, yep"? No, they had the voice of the Holy Spirit in their hearts and in their minds telling them and leading them and directing them. And they had an assurance from God's Spirit to tell this man to rise up and walk. So much so that they helped him to get up, in case he didn't have the faith for it. They knew. And that is such a blessing to me. Because when God speaks to me, I want that to be the finished deal. That I know from that point on, it's done. And he has done that in my life multiple times. The Lord spoke to my heart that I was saved. That's the only way I knew it. I heard the word of God. I grabbed a hold of faith and assurance and belief and confidence in what he said. And my soul was saved because of it. You know that I got sanctified because God said. And I got a hold of faith somehow. And believed him at his word. That he would be able to do it. And that he wanted to do it. And that it was mine to have. And got a hold of a faith and of a confidence in God. And he sanctified my soul. But there are so many other things that we go through in our lives that we grab a hold and we need faith for. And for God to say it. And it's a firm foundation. It's solid foundation. So much so that with confidence we can say, "Rise up and walk." Because of Jesus Christ. And because of his word, rise up and walk. And I pray that the Lord would continue to help me to learn these lessons every hour. Because there are new circumstances and things that we're going to face in our lives that are personal to you and personal to me, that we're going to need the voice of God leading us and directing us so that we can have a confidence that we're going the right way and that we're following our Savior. And he's going to direct us in paths that lead us into a glorious land, a Canaan land, a beautiful land, flowing with milk and honey. And that's what God is doing in your life and in mine. and I want to trust him with a faith that is not a hope faith. It's not a wish faith that I wish God would do this or I wish God would do that. But it's a I know because God has said faith. That is real faith. And I pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts, my heart and what I need my faith to be established in, and your heart where you need your faith to be established in. And that we can each grab a hold of a confidence and assurance that God has said it. Yes. It's in his hands, and he's going to take care of it. And I'm letting it go. And I'm going to follow in faith. I'm patterning my life around it. We're going to pick up the tents, pack up all of our stuff, bring all the children, everybody, let's go. We're all going to work on this boat, every one of us. You boys, get out here. We're building this ark. Patterning our lives around it. On an assurance of what God has said. Pray for me. I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want him to speak to me and give me assurances so that I know where I'm going.